it's the only way I can.
Yeah, that's true. And so we're recording. We are on it now. And so praise God. And so if any of the youth want to go with my wife to the school, youth area, you're more than welcome to. Or you can stand and stay and be with us. It does not matter. And so praise God. It is a blessing to be with you. And as you know, last week we started talking about the kingdom. And that the kingdom is within us. And we will get into that a little bit deeper. And I promised you a board. So we have a new board. And I don't know about these boards. I'll be honest with you. Because last time I made a board, I thought it would be just for a week or two. And it ended up being for 62 weeks. So I don't know how long this was going to last, but we need to understand some things about the kingdom. And these are just some of the scriptures, and each one of these we'll get into in greater depth as we go through. So understanding the everlasting kingdom. A couple of things about the everlasting kingdom. It's only mentioned those five times in the Bible, Psalm 145:13, Daniel 4 and 3, Daniel 7, 27, 2 Peter verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 11, and 1 Corinthians 4, 20. And we will look at that, those as they come up, because the kingdom that God is talking about is an everlasting kingdom, thus meaning it started before time. Everlasting means eternal. It is, and it doesn't change. It isn't a changing kingdom. There aren't different kingdoms in the kingdom. It is a kingdom of God that He had planned before the foundations of the world, the righteousness, the holiness of God, to dwell in men in such a sufficient way that His kingdom is revealed to the lost and dying world by you. The kingdom lives within you. And we will talk about that as we get into it a little bit deeper. And so, what is the kingdom? And we'll look at that. We talked about these first two scriptures last week a little bit. It's within you from Luke 17. It's of righteousness, peace, and joy from Romans 14. And it is not of this world. That's pretty cool. That the kingdom of God is not of this world. It's kind of like from faith we understand that the worlds were made not of the substances that are, but the substances that are not. By the word of God, all of the universe was made. It didn't happen by some freak accident a million gazillion years ago when these two clackers hit and all of the planets spun off of that. That's crazy. Right? When you look at the just the working of that, or even just the mindset that it takes to think that an explosion or two asteroids smashed into each other somewhere in time-space oblivion, and all of this stuff was made out of that. I don't know. As a child, I played with fireworks a lot. I blew up a lot of stuff, and I never seen anything come together. You know, as I made my little airplane models and stuff like that, because I was big into the airplane stuff, and I'd build one, I'd fill it full of little firecrackers and things like M80s, and I'd blow it up, because that's what guys do, right? It never blew up and then fell back into place. You know, in fact, some parts were so bad broken you couldn't glue them back into place. So that whole bang theory is a lie. It is not true. I know that in the beginning, God, and then God said, and then things were made. And they weren't made out of the substances that are here, but they were made out of the very word, the mouth, the heart, the desire of God. And so in that, we need to get that the kingdom of God that He spoke about is not of this world. We will talk about that. And then, if we can get into this today, I'd love it, but I don't know if we will. It's suffering. And it is taken by violence. The kingdom of God has suffered ever since John the Baptizer. And those who enter into the kingdom must take it by violence. We'll look into that. I'm very excited about that portion, if we can get that far. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And that's where we'll be over the next several weeks until God brings us out of it. Dear Father, we thank You. We praise You for Your word. Lord God, I pray that as we look into the kingdom, we'll come to understand the great desire that You have, that we would know what it's about. Lord, I ask that You would move in and around this congregation, that Your Spirit would teach us what we need to hear today.
Let you come. Let the word of God come. Dwell in us and dwell on us, that your name, your righteousness might be revealed to us in order that we can share that with the lost and dying world. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things in Christ's name. Amen. And so as we started this revealing of the kingdom last week, we looked primarily at Luke chapter 17 and verse 20. And we'll start again there this week because I think that's extremely important. And so when he, Christ, was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." All right, clue one. What does the kingdom of God come not with? Observation. What does observation mean?
Seeing.
So the kingdom of God is coming, but it's not coming in the way that you will physically see it. And we talked about this a little bit last week, that I was always taught that in Revelation we see I was told the kingdom of God coming out of heaven. But that's not what the Bible says. He says, "I saw the bride of Christ coming down." All right, when we start wrapping your mind around that the kingdom of God has been since forever and it will be forever, and that it's not made with observation, but we're told that the kingdom of God lives within us. Start thinking about that. Get that rolling around in your mind, because that's what got rolling around in my mind a couple of months ago when I started looking into this and preparing to talk about it. And so as we read on in verse 20, or 21, "Neither say they, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Check out who he was talking to when he said this.
Amen.
And he was demanded of the Pharisees. Were the Pharisees followers of Jesus?
No.
All right. And so God talking to people that didn't believe he was God, right? Jesus, he's God manifested in flesh. Are we together on that page?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So he was God. He was the Word. We know that from John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. All things that were made with him, and without him nothing was made that was made," right? I may have chopped that up a little bit. And then on over it says, "And then the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father." So we know who God was. He was the glory of God, begotten in flesh. And then John the apostle saw him, and the others saw him, and they beheld his glory. But we also know that the Word of God, that God was the Word, and the Word was in God, right? So as Tom said this morning, every time that you pick up your Bible, guess what you're holding? The glory of God. And you can see the glory of God right here in these pages, right here in this. If you can take it by faith, if you can wrap your heart and your mind about what the Bible says about the kingdom, then you will be blessed in such a way. And again, what made me start thinking about this is that every time that Jesus taught, he said, "Go and teach them about the kingdom." You know, what he didn't tell them to do is go teach them how to walk on water, go teach them how to heal people, go teach them how to cast out demons. Those things will happen, all right? And he said that you'll be able to do that. But what you're supposed to teach, and who are you supposed to teach it to? Go and teach the kingdom of God. And he said, first, go to the lost sheep of Israel. Go to the lost house of Israel. Don't go to Samaria, and don't go into the Gentile places, but go to the people who believe that there is a kingdom. Start teaching the ones who know that there is a kingdom coming about the kingdom of God. And I brought this up last week. How many of us really understand what the kingdom of God is? Right? We're thinking of this 12,000 furlong size cube falling out of the air, right? With gates of pearl and the 12 stones and the streets of gold, right? And when you think of the kingdom, is that what you think of? That can't fit in you. All right, so if the kingdom of God is in me, and it's even in the ones who don't believe in Jesus Christ, because the Pharisees didn't believe in Jesus Christ, and Jesus said to the Pharisees, "The kingdom of God is within you." So what is the kingdom of God? So it can't be this high in the sky thing that we have thought it was. It must be much more intimate than that. We understand through Jesus that it's not with observation, it's not over here, and it's not over there, but it's within you, it's inside of you. So when God, with the first man, he knelt down and he scooped up the dirt, the dust of the ground, and he formed it into the first man, and then he bent down over him. And he breathed into it, and it became a living soul. The kingdom of God was planted in Adam by the breath of God. And that breath that was in Adam is in everyone who has descended from Adam. So who else descended from Adam? Everybody. Everybody. Even the Pharisees, even the sinners. Your friend that you talked about that has all those problems that's going on. The kingdom of God is within her too. But it's not an observation. It's there, but it's not activated. Jesus said, unless you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't enter it, you can't see it. So the kingdom of God is actually activated on the internal side in the heart of an individual when they come to the knowledge of the Most High God, when they're born again. Then it becomes illuminated in them. And then we're supposed to live inside of the kingdom of God. Not an observation, right? It's not like, because when I got converted by the Spirit of God, there wasn't a whole lot of big change in me on the outside. I mean, sure, I didn't talk the same way. I didn't drink the same stuff. In fact, the folks that I used to run with in my old crowd, they really didn't like me as much as they used to.
Yeah, amen.
You know?
Yeah.
I wasn't as fun as what I used to be. In fact, geez, now every time we come around you, you talk about this Jesus and the indwelling Spirit of God, you're a real bummer at the parties. You know? But that's what God did. That kingdom of God became alive on the inside of an individual, started changing everything that you are, everything that you believe, everything that you can be. So the teaching, speaking to the Pharisees, it was not with observation. And again, in Romans 14, if you'll flip open there, and we'll talk about that just for a moment. In Romans 14, again, it's not physical. 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. All right, so here's what the kingdom of God is. This is the reality of the kingdom of God in the individual. For the kingdom of God is not of meat and drink. All right, so it's not of Burger King and the big smoothie you get, right? It's not of that. It's not of that thing. It's not of substance that you can hold on to. But the kingdom of God, it's righteousness. So if the kingdom is righteousness and I live in unrighteousness, then the kingdom of God is not active in me. So how do I know what's righteous and what's not righteous? I must need be reading the Word of God. If I'm going to know what's right and what's not right before God, if I'm going to know what He accepts is holy and what He thinks is abominable, what He thinks is sin, and I'm going to desire to be in the kingdom with Him, then I must adjust my life to His ways, to His righteousness. If I don't adjust my life to His Word, then the kingdom is not in me. Now, when the kingdom of righteousness starts to indwell in you, there will be some outspurts of evidence of that. All right? He says peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, I would dare say love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All right? Those will be the evidences that the kingdom of God is within you, that's living within you, because it's changing who you used to be into the image of who he is. See, Christ Jesus is peace. He is joy. He is faithfulness. He is goodness. He is holiness, right? That's who he is. And if he is in you, if the Holy Spirit is in you and you're grabbing a hold of the kingdom of God, it ought to be living in you and producing fruit of his righteousness on the outside of you, that the world can see it. So let your light shine before men that they might glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let your light shine. Let your work shine. Let the righteousness of God shine. Let the peace of God shine. In the church today, you know what we're really missing a lot of? Peace and joy. Holiness, righteousness. We're missing holding our part of the covenant with God, right? God said, I got a covenant for you. It is the kingdom. It is the love. It is the grace. It's the power of the Most High God. That's my covenant to you. And all you have to do to really hold on to this is abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. My Father is the husbandman, and he that abideth in me. Then he tells you what it's like to abide in him. Just before that, in 14, he said, if you love me, you will
keep.
Obey. You'll keep my commandments. So the church often says in America, oh, we love Jesus. We love Jesus. So give me my beer. Give me my smokes. Give me my sporting event. Give me Facebook. Give me Twitter. Give me this. Give me that. Give me TV. Give me commercials. Give me a new car to make me feel good. Give me a big house, 2-car garage. Give me, give me, give me, and I'll be blessed. I really don't see that in God. I don't see that in the righteousness of God. I don't see that in the holiness of God. I got grandsons. And they are big into the sporting stuff. Oh, I had a granddaughter that had to get on a jet plane to go play soccer. I could have socked her right here. To go play that sporting game, right? And their parents did that, said, all right, sweetheart, yay. We're going to jump on a jet plane. We're going to fly halfway across the country so that you can play a game that you could have played in the backyard. And I'm not saying anything bad about it, but if you don't teach your kids holiness and righteousness and goodness and the love of God, what are you going to do when you get to heaven? Are you going to say, Lord God, look at my trophy case. Wow, I was number one on the soccer team. I could hit a baseball with a stick and it could fly further than anybody else. Yay. You could give me an oblong-shaped ball and I would chase it back and forth over a 100-yard field and they called me a hero. First of all, I don't want to be called a sandwich.
You don't get that, do you? A hero is a sandwich, a submarine sandwich.
That's loving the world. And if you're loving the world, I'm telling you that the kingdom of God that is within you, that has a chance to grow into this awesome covering, not just for you, but for everybody around you, is stifled because you love the dainties of Babylon more than you love the righteousness of God. I fear for the church, especially in America today. I don't think we really understand what the kingdom of God is. See, we often think that it is in meat and drink, and we think that it is in observation, that it's over here, that it's over there. But often we don't realize that the kingdom of God really is within us, and it is an intimate love relationship with God that's real, that's personal, that changes who you are in Christ Jesus. Oh, if we could just get a grip on that just for a second. See, I'm looking at my notes, and I don't know if the notes is where I need to go. I tell you what, I know
I'll go over here to Psalm 1. I say 54, but it's not 54.
145.
45, thank you. And so Psalm 145. And we'll pick up in verse 8 of Psalm 145. And so, because I had other stuff to say, but the Spirit of God just said, you know, Curtis, what you got to say may not be as, it may not be, yeah, right. He said, it is not important is what I need to say. So open up my word and just read what my word has to say about the kingdom of God, about his holiness, about his righteousness. And Psalm 145, and starting in verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great of mercy. The Lord is good to all and is tender, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of thy, and now check this out, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, his glorious majesty, of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raises up all those that are bowed down. Look at what the psalmist said here, verse 8. About the kingdom, about who God is. Now, understanding that we need to have this indwelling Spirit of God in us in such a way that we represent God. If you're being conformed into the image of Christ, there should be some things in you that are being exposed outwardly because of the indwelling power and might in the kingdom of God within you. So, the Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and great of mercy. Or of great mercy. As you know, I see things backwards sometimes. So if I say the wrong word like merit instead of the other thing I sang in the song, which fit marvelously. I don't know who wrote that thing, but I could have wrote it better. Anyhow, gracious. This attribute of God, the Lord is gracious. If the kingdom of God was breathed into Adam and passed to all men, how is the graciousness of God dwelling within the individual that calls himself a Christian? Are you gracious? Are you gracious to those who are caught in the snares of Satan? Do you know that but by the grace of God, you are the alcoholic, the drug addict, the one addicted to any number of things of this world, entrapments of the flesh. But God, through his gracious mercy, his enduring compassion for you, moved over you. He said, daughter, I love you. It does that to everybody. So he's not just doing, he also did it to the Pharisees. Remember, the kingdom of God was within them. So our drug addicted friend, our friend that we know that's full of anger, that we can't seem to reach, the kingdom of God is able to be ignited in that individual just as it was ignited in you. So don't think too highly of yourself, but try to live in the graciousness instead of being condemning to other people. Try showing some grace to other people. Because but by the grace of God, that person is you. Right? That person is you. That sin that is in them exposing itself through the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that those things, which are the only three weapons our enemy has against us, those things that are in that person are in you, is just covered by the kingdom of God. And because you walk in the kingdom of God, those things become less, but the grace and compassion and the mercy of God should be more. The righteousness, the peace of joy is indeed the essence of the kingdom of God that lives within every human being.
if that human being would only hold to the hem of the Christ that saved them. Not the song in the hymn, but the very essence of who Jesus is. If we would just hold on to the essence of who Jesus is through the power of his word, things would change in our lives in such a way that the lost would see our good works and they would glorify our Father who is in heaven. But we need to hold on to that kingdom. The Lord is good to all. Wow. Even Pelosi. Right? The Lord is good to all. Even Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Even Hochul.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Even Trump, right? Because he's no saint. I'm not in here for the politics. I'm here for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And we as the people of God need to start exposing and living inside of the kingdom of God and stop worrying about the kingdom of this world. Do you know that this kingdom that we're living in, this world kingdom, the prince of the power of the air, as we saw earlier today, is going to burn with a fervent
Amen.
Fire? That none of this stuff that is here, the entrapments of this world, the here and there, the meat and the drink, all of the physical stuff in this world that we think is worth something, is all going to burn. There is nothing of the iniquity of this world that's going to pass through the veil into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of Christ, into the kingdom of heaven. Nothing of this sinful, this iniquity-ridden world land, mindset, hearts filled with lust, eyes filled with lust, lives filled with pride, right? None of that's going to pass through. So if the kingdom of God is going to live exponentially inside of the believer, I must make adjustments in my life to the kingdom of God that's coming today. I've got to want to be around other people who hold me accountable to the Word of God. I need to hang around other people that speak God's Word, that speak God's truth. And you need it too. That's what the church is for. Forsake ye not the assembly of yourselves, as the manner of some is. As you see the day approaching. I don't know, do y'all see the day approaching? He says in verse 10 of 145, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Church, are we really blessing God? How can you say you love God and walk in the flesh? Either you're going to walk in the Spirit or you're going to walk in the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you walk in the flesh, you will not fulfill the desire of the Spirit of God within you. These two are contrary to one another, right? The scripture says that they're constantly at battle. They're constantly fighting with each other. That the righteousness, the holiness of God is trying to live out in you through the kingdom of God which lives within you. But because of my own heart's desire, the kingdom of God's righteousness is stifled. Not because I don't have the power to live in the righteousness, but I love this present world more than I love the promise of the kingdom. So how do you teach that to somebody? Well, first, you got to believe it. Because I can't teach it to you until it becomes real to me. God has done something in me in the last few months. All right? And he's done it because of the Sunday school teaching. He's done it because of reading the Bible and not reading men's interpretation of what the Bible says. I'm seeing Scripture differently now than I have ever seen it in my life. And I thank God through the Holy Spirit for doing that, illuminating me to that. And he's using tools like the old rusty wrench over there, you know, and the rusty wrench back over there, both of them sitting beside each other. And, you know, and he's using these individuals to awaken me to the necessity of understanding God for not what I think God is, not who I think God is, but for the reality of who he truly is in the individual. That the kingdom of God, I'm looking for the kingdom of God in you, Tom, and you, Paul, you, Brother Y'all. What is your first name?
I don't know either.
Doug. I was digging for Doug. And so, that's horrible. But I was trying to find your name. I couldn't find it. It was in there. It was bouncing around. So off the subject just a little bit. If I forget your name, do not take it personal. All right? For the first 20 years of my life, I thought my name was shut up and sit down. Right? Because every time they looked at me, that's what they said. And so, anyhow, so please don't take offense. I love you whether I know what you're called or not.
I'm not going names either.
There, oh, yeah, and I don't know who you are, but thanks. But thanks for speaking up. Oh, and so he says in verse 11, they shall speak the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Church, this is what we need to be speaking of. We need to be speaking of the glory of the kingdom of God and talking about his power. How often are we talking about the vaccines? How often are we talking about the chemtrails? How often are we talking about the snake poison in the water system, right? How often are we talking about all these things that really don't matter, because what I just told you, that all these things are going to burn with the fervent heat. And I have a promise from God that none of these things shall touch me. Why? Because I have the kingdom of God. I'm dwelling in the kingdom of God in this present age. That there's nothing in this world, that there's no power in heaven or on earth that can destroy the saint of God. And it's not because of my power, but it's because of his kingdom that dwells in me. And he promised he would never leave me, he would never forsake me. He promised that if you walk with him, if you hold on to him, that the fullness and the righteousness of God will give you strength, will give you manna for the day. I don't need tomorrow's blessings. I need to learn how to live in today's blessings. There is a kingdom that's coming, amen? And Jesus said, pray this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is a kingdom that will be on this earth when all iniquity is done away with. It's going to happen in one day, because the kingdom is going to come and it's going to crush the iniquity and the enemies of God. The kingdoms of this world shall be made the kingdoms of our Father who is in heaven. All of this world system that is full of sin and debauchery and all these horrible things that we're looking at in church. I'm not saying ignore the things that are happening, but don't give too much heed to them. Right? Yeah, it is. We're living in wicked, wicked times. Amen? But I have a promise that is of a kingdom that's coming and that really and truly is already here within me. I must be seeking the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Matthew 6:33 first, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So what were those things? Really is basically it's just clothing and food. Praise God. You know what I really need more than any, more than I need my house, my cars, my, see what I just said? My. None of this is mine, right? You really, do you think you own your home? Don't pay taxes on it for a year. And I guarantee you the powers of this world will come and take it for their own.
Yes.
And put you on the street and pat you on the back as they're kicking you out of something you thought was yours. We need to hold on to the kingdom of God. You know what? That kingdom can never be taken from me. Right? I'm in my Father's hand. And he's stronger than anybody else. As long as I remain in the vine, I desire the kingdom of God to be living in me, on me, dwelling through me. Then his righteousness will be. And I need to be speaking his kingdom. And they, verse 11, and they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Church, we need to change our conversation. Ever since this whole COVID thing and this whole vaccine thing, I wasn't really aware of the damage that it was doing to the body of Christ, taking our focus off of the kingdom of God and putting it on the kingdom of this world. Right? Anybody here with me on that?
Amen.
How much time, how many hours have we wasted getting in foolish conversations
with people about things that really don't matter. If you trust God and walk in His righteousness, like Tom said this morning, the reason that I personally didn't take the vaccine, it wasn't because I was so stubborn I wouldn't take it. I truly believe that God laid over me His righteousness. And He says, listen, son, this ain't for you. Mm-hmm. The reason this church didn't close when all the other churches closed around here, you know why? I went to God and I prayed and I said, God, is this a real worry? And it was really no. And again, I've told you all this. Jesus said these two things. If you love me, feed my sheep. All right? So I had to ask myself, do I love God? Well, sure I do. Or I say I do. Well, then if I close the doors of the building, how can I feed the sheep? Do it on Facebook? Well, wait a second. Facebook is like one cord of an umbilical cord that leads to the belly of Lucifer. So I'm going to feed the body of Christ with something that's tied to the prince of the power of the air? Don't think so. The other thing Jesus said, or the Bible said, I didn't have to hear a voice from God. This was impressed, forsake ye not the assembly. So we didn't shut the church. We didn't change anything we did. Now, when the virus first came out, we did take hand sanitizer and we put it on the end of every pew. And if you wanted to put hand sanitizer on, you could. I got warnings about hand sanitizer. It kills as much of the good stuff as it kills the bad stuff, right? So there's good bacteria on your hands that you need to put in you. That's why you play with dirt and worms and things like that, because they have things that are good for you. Anyhow, sorry about going off on that tangent. Because if we really seek the kingdom of God, we will not be overly consumed with the kingdoms of this world, with the worries and the concerns of this world. I'm not worried about inflation. I've blown up balloons before, right? And you inflate it, right? What happens when you blow it up too big? Just pops. And guess what happens? Nothing. It's a big bang. So there is a big bang. Right? Right. And so nothing really changes. Right? And you know how I feel about the changing of time that our government makes us do. You take an hour and you add an hour and you take an hour. And like it really changes anything. All right, so I'm cutting off the bottom of the blanket. I'm sewing it to the top of the blanket. I'm cutting off the bottom of the blanket. I'm sewing it to the top of the blanket. It didn't change where the sun rose or how long it remained in the sky or when it set. I'm a hunter, right? I like to go out in the woods and hunt little furry things. They're beautiful. I like to kill them and eat them. All of that did not change the attitude or the motions or the changing of the leaves. Nothing in nature changed because man said, change your clocks. So if we have the kingdom of God truly living with us, if we're truly dwelling inside of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of this world should not have any residual. Say that for me.
Residual.
Yeah, that's it. I put a D in there because I can't spell. In my mind, I can't spell. Residual effect on the person of God. Right? Do you get that? That if the government says that you're all going to die if you don't take the poke. Well, okay. You're all going to die anyhow. Nobody gets into the kingdom in this flesh. Thus, this flesh has got to die. Nobody goes to heaven in your body save Jesus, because he is the only flesh that was without sin. All other flesh is sinful. It's a picture of sin. So if I'm really dwelling and contemplating on the kingdom of God, I'm not overly contemplating on who's the president, overly contemplating on what virus is going around, overly contemplating on what time it is. I don't know. Y'all remember the group Chicago? Does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care about time? If so, we all have time to die. And so I can't imagine why we would worry about time. Does anybody really know what time it is? I do. I know it's time for the church to awaken. I know that it's time for the church. I really believe that the Spirit of God is moving over the body of Christ in such a way, saying, don't worry about this. Don't, if he's saying, lo, I'm here, or lo, the kingdom's there, or it's in meat, or it's in food, or it's in drink, it's in the things of this world, it's time for us to wake up out of that delusion and understand that the kingdom of God is indeed the breath of God, the Spirit of God that dwells inside of every believer. Well, even the unbelievers. Do you know that? That when God breathed into Adam, back where we started, that the Spirit of God is available to be stirred up in every single human being. You know that humans are the only created thing on this earth that worship? You understand that, right? Have you ever seen your dog worship your cat? Really? Cats do not worship. Well, neither do deer, neither do dogs, neither do trees. They all proclaim the glory of God, right? But only human beings have this deep desire within them to worship something that is outside of their time space, right? Even the Buddhists, they worship something outside of time space. The difference is, Christians, we worship the God who is outside of time space. Unfortunately, all other religions look for the stuff that's on the inside of the cup to discover what made everything in the cup work. Well, we know that things were made outside by faith, that they weren't made on the inside of the cup, they were made on the outside of the cup. They were made in the righteousness, the holiness, and the thought and the mind of God. And he took and put all those things inside the cup. Air, earth, wind, fire, all those things. And a desire to worship the one who created that. That's where God breathed into Adam and made him a living soul. Whereas he created all other animals, he didn't make them a living soul. The soul being the image of God that lives within every human being. So if I'm really going to desire the kingdom of God, I've got to get my mind set into the righteousness of God, into the peace of God, into the joy of God. And the enemy of that is being overly concerned about the things of this world. Not concerned at all, but just overly concerned. So I need to speak the kingdom of, talk about his power, his kingdom. Verse 12, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts. The sons of men. So I have the kingdom of God, the knowledge of the kingdom of God, and the reason I have the knowledge of the kingdom of God is to express the righteousness of God to the sons of men. To the ones who don't have the illumination, the Spirit of God living and dwelling in them in an active way, the kingdom of God being in them, but not turned on. Wow. Have you? You have a brand new car. Fancy, pretty, paint job, white wall tires, all the things, four barrel carburetor, you know, 444, anyhow, big block motor, all that kind of. And you have a key for it, but you never put the key in the ignition and turn it on. What good is it? It's not good at all. It's just a big hunk of metal sitting in your driveway. You've got to put the key in it. You've got to turn it on. You've got to enjoy it. The kingdom of God is within you, but unless we turn the kingdom of God on through the righteousness, the holiness, the knowledge of the Most High God, then that kingdom's never activated in us in such a way that we could proclaim to a lost and dying world the righteousness of God. Did you catch that? Jesus said, go, he told it to his 12, go and preach the kingdom to Jerusalem, to the lost sheep of Jerusalem. Don't go to Samaria, don't go to the Gentile peoples, but go to the people who should know what the kingdom of God is about and ignite that in them first. See, we've got to get that ignited in us. The knowledge of the kingdom, the righteousness of the kingdom needs to become alive in us in order that we could bring that kingdom later to the lost. Because later, when he sends out the 70, he tells them to go to every town, every village, and proclaim the kingdom of God. Don't provide too much stuff for yourself. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, in verse 13. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The everlasting kingdom of God. It's this world does Satan's kingdom, the prince of the power world of this earth, this kingdom that we're living in now, this illusion of righteousness that we have right now, is only a short-lived thing. Doug pointed it out earlier this morning, our life is but a vapor. We are here, we're like, well, it hasn't been cold enough yet, but when it gets cold enough, you'll be able to walk outside and exhale, right? And you're going to see this cloud come up, and it's just going to disappear. That's really your life. That's the whole of your life. It lasts about that long. We think it's a long time. In fact, there are certain insects that are born, and they live for about a day or two. They do their business. They lay their eggs. And then they die. But to them, that's a whole lifetime. Right? Their whole life is consumed in this one 24 or 48 hour period. Bam! This is what they're all about. And then they die. You know, your life is like that, just on what we think is a longer scale. We're born. We live for 80, 100 years, whatever. And then you're going to die. And then you're going to go into eternity, which never ends. And it never began. It was there before the beginning began. Wow. And it'll be there after ending has ended. It is eternal in its length, and its breadth, and its depth, and its height. That is the kingdom of God. That's the righteousness, the holiness, the peace, the love, the joy, the compassion of God that is supposed to dwell. Well, it doesn't supposed to. Jesus said that it dwells within you, Pharisee. Remember, he was talking to the Pharisees. He wasn't talking to his disciples. But if that same kingdom that we've been talking about over this last little bit of time right here, if that same kingdom, I've got to quit saying if, since that same kingdom, and I have to say since, not if, because if brings doubt. Okay? This kingdom is without doubt. It is more sure than me looking at you, Lance. I see you. I don't believe you're there. You know why? Because there, I have a faith in Christ of a kingdom that has not been revealed, opened up yet. By faith, I believe in the kingdom. I believe in His righteousness. I believe in His holiness. I believe it in such a way that I align my life with the righteousness described in the Word of God. He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." The Church of Jesus Christ needs to start understanding holiness again. The holiness of the kingdom, the righteousness of the kingdom. You know when the kingdom does... Tom, how much iniquity is going to be in the kingdom? Can you find scripture for that? I believe you can. There will be no sin. There will be no darkness. There will be no thing that upholds itself against God and His Word in the kingdom. So, I had to ask myself, as the kingdom is within me, how much darkness do I invite? How much sinfulness do I open the door to? How much iniquity do I revel in? Do I really believe that the kingdom dwells within me? And if I do, then why do I revel in the things that do not proclaim the kingdom of God? I don't know if y'all ever thought about it. But like I said, since I've been looking at this, I've got to change. I've got to change. There are some things in my life that are not godly. And if I really want the kingdom of God to be exponentially expressed today, right now, then I must learn how to be crucified with Christ. I must learn how to embrace death. Okay, I'm going to jump to the end of this teaching. We'll come back to it. Suffereth violence. Matthew 11:12. Because I was taught this wrong. I was taught this scripture wrong. So actually, I guess we'll start up in 11:11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath none risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. For, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you can receive it, this is Elijah, which is to come before. He who hath an ear, let him hear. Okay. I was taught that this here is the wickedness of man fighting against the holiness of God. All right? And isn't that what you were taught? But if the kingdom of God is dwelling within me, there's a war that's going on inside of me that I have got to fight. I've got to fight this. And it's the kingdom of God that I need, because my flesh is wanting one thing and the Spirit of God is wanting something else. The kingdom of God is wanting to be in me. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom suffereth violence. How did John the Baptizer die? Was it of a good old age laying on his couch? No. He was a young man and he was decapitated. Yeah, pretty violent way to go. Because of the lust of a woman who perverted her daughter to ask for something. Why? Because he stood for the kingdom of God in such a way that it made the king mad. And he got put in prison. And then there's a festival. Everybody got, got a little tipsy. The queen asked the daughter, or the daughter danced in front of the king, and he said, anything that you want, up to one half of my kingdom, you can have. She went and talked to her mom and said, hey, bring John's head to me on a platter. So the little girl went and asked the king, hey, give me John's head. And they took John's head. It suffered violence. Being arrested for righteousness' sake suffered violence. You know, John didn't have to go to jail. All he had to do was stop preaching the truth. All he had to do was stop preaching the kingdom. He had to be violent within himself for the faith that was laid before him. And he chose, I'm going to stand with God in a violent way, peaceful but violent. John didn't strike arms. He didn't raise a fuss. He did talk to the Pharisees, whitewashed sepulchers, that kind of stuff, right? Who warned you that the axe is laid to the root? He did say those things, but he wasn't violent. He wasn't a violent man, kind of a little wild, you know, had a beard full of crickets and grasshoppers and honey, dressed in a loincloth. Not exactly what you think of a preacher. What would y'all do if I grew my beard out? Came up here in a Tarzan outfit one time? You know? Put some honey and some grasshoppers all stuck up in there. And said, I can get Alan. I don't have to do anything. Alan, take off your shirt. Come on up here. And all I said was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Because that's what John the Baptizer preached. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Again, I'm just starting to scrape the outer shell of the kingdom for us to understand. We haven't even got into the teachings that Jesus had, the kingdom of God is like unto, and we will. I'm going to have to make a new board. I only got into the first half of the second page of my notes for today. So next week, we will return right here to this very same thought, right here to this very same thing. The same blackboard is going to be here. Next week, we're going to get into, it's not of this world. We will talk more about the suffering. The kingdom suffers and is taken by the violent, or suffers violence to be taken by the violent. Because I really believe that we have been taught this incorrectly throughout the really smart people. I can't call them edumacated folks. You know, and nothing wrong with educating. We've got a real smart guy sits right over there, right? And there's some, I think you got 12th grade education, don't you? Which is like twice as much as I got. Anyhow, folks, I love you. I hope I haven't bored you to death. I hope that I bored you to life. You know, my prayer is that we will individually go home and really dig into this kingdom, because Jesus said, go and teach the kingdom. He didn't say, go and save people, right? We're often into going and handing out tracts trying to save people. You know, if you save them, they can still be lost. Nobody saves. You can't save nobody. Anyhow, different thing. We'll get to that later on. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, your grace, your righteousness. Father, we come before you and ask that as we dig a little deeper into the kingdom, Father, that the truth of the kingdom will become illuminated to our hearts and mind in such a way that the world, that we would be able to express it properly to a lost and dying generation. Father, I truly believe that we have raised up a generation that does not know you. Father, that we have raised up through the schools and through the homes. Father, that, yeah, forgive us, Lord Jesus. Forgive us. Wake us up to the need of the immediacy of the kingdom of God dwelling fervently within the hearts and the minds of individuals today. Lord, we ask for that. We pray that you would lead us into that. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.